I want to start off this morning with a quiz. Yes, don't get too stressed out. It's very, very easy. You'll be able to figure it out. In fact, I invite you to verbalize the answer to this fill-in-the-blank quiz. Okay? I don't want it next month. I don't want it next week. I don't want it tomorrow. I want it right now. Very good. Okay. Mother had told Johnny to pick up his room, and he didn't do it. So she says, "Now, Johnny, I told you to pick up your room. So go and do it right now." Okay. Prayer of many Americans. "Lord, please give me patience, but give it to me right now." Yeah. We're in a society, we live in a culture where we want things now, don't we? I mean, look around. We have instant potatoes. We have instant pudding. We have instant coffee, which I'm told not to drink because it tastes terrible. Okay. We want things given to us now. I suppose that's one reason maybe why credit cards are so popular. You know, we can buy something and then not worry, and we can get it, but then not worry about having to pay for it until later. See, we can satisfy our immediate needs, our immediate wants. And that's what our society, that's what we emphasize, that's what we want. We don't want to wait. We don't like to be patient. But James, the author of our first reading for today, he instructs us that in order to grow and to be a more mature in our faith, we need patience. See, James had written this letter to Christians who already knew how they're saved. They're saved by the grace of God through faith in the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they knew that. But now, how do they grow in their faith? How do they become more mature? And James gives them many instructions, many things on what they can do in order to be more mature, in order to grow in their faith. And one here in chapter 5, verses 7 through 11, he says, is to be patient. Now, certainly he's talking about it's to be patient until the end time, to when Jesus comes back, when he returns for a second time, as our reading too from Luke 21 is talking about, you know, enduring to the end when Jesus returns for a second advent, for a second time. But we are to be patient in all aspects of our life. And so this morning we're going to look at that. And the word, there's two Greek words that get translated as patience or perseverance, or even sometimes endurance, okay? And these two words appear 6 times in our reading from James. So this is important stuff. James says it 6 different times. And the first word that gets translated as patience from the Greek to English is makrothumia. Isn't that a wonderful word, huh? Makrothumia, you get to say that all day long, and I get to say it almost all day long, okay? Makrothumia. It's a Greek word that has 2 words inside of it, doesn't it? It's a compound word, compound noun, makro and thumia. Makro meaning long, big, long, okay? As opposed, the opposite is micro, you know, short. And then thumia, that's where we get the words like thermometer and thermostat. So it means heat. So we have macrothumia, which means it's long in getting heated. In other words, you have a long fuse. You don't get hot under the collar real fast. Okay? So that's the first word that gets translated as patient. But then there's also hupomone. Hupomone means, yes, certainly patience, endurance, perseverance. But it also has to do, a sense, too, with enduring through that long suffering and still staying underneath God's will, still being in your faith, not losing that faith, still staying under God's will, okay? So those are the two words that get translated as patience or perseverance in our reading. And this morning, I want to ask you if you will be patient with me in our message, okay? Practice some macrothumia, because most messages have 2, maybe 3, possibly 4 main points, okay? This one has 6. 6. So you got to hang in there, okay? Now, they're in 2 categories. They're in two categories. So that makes it a little easier. Three in each. Okay, two categories, three in each. First one is scenarios or cases that you need patience. Okay? And then secondly, how we can go about practicing that patience. There's 3 points in that. Okay? So it won't be too bad, but hang in there, okay, during these 6 points. The first is circumstances. Scenarios when we need patience is because circumstances are uncontrollable, aren't they? Much of life is not controllable. Oh, we like to have control. We would love to control things, but the reality is that we can't control a lot of things that go on in our lives. And here James mentions the farmers. In his day, apparently the farmers were very patient. They waited for the rains, the early rains and the late rains to come. Okay? Farmers today, I know a few, and they don't seem to be very patient, but they were in James's day as they waited, as they were short on their fuse, long on their fuse, okay? They didn't get hot under the collar. They were waiting patiently for the rains. We can't control the rain, can we? We can't control the weather. It's uncontrollable. And there's certain other things in life, too, that are uncontrollable, okay? Just a week and a half ago, coming back from California, the airplane delayed, something we can't control. At least it wasn't a four-hour delay like sometimes they are, okay? But life as we go through has a lot of things that we cannot control. And so we have to wait. We have to wait, wait, and wait. And, you know, isn't it funny? I was thinking about waiting the other day and thought about, you know, my life and how I couldn't wait to go to school. Wasn't that, you know, couldn't wait to start first grade. And then as in elementary school, you couldn't wait to get to high school. Couldn't wait to, you know, be with the big kids there in high school. And then when you're in high school, you can't wait. You can't wait until graduation day. Finally, get to graduate and get out of this high school, right? And then you can't wait to fall in love and can't wait to get married and have kids. And you know, for me, then it was, I can't wait to get to the seminary. I can't wait to, you know, have the first call. And now, you know, you look back on life and you hope you can maybe do some more waiting, you know, that you could maybe go back in time even to some of those earlier days. It's funny how we have to wait so often in life because life is uncontrollable. So many aspects in life are uncontrollable. It's funny, too. It's ironic, and this is true, though. When you go into a restaurant, you often have to wait for a lot of things. You have to sometimes wait for a table. You have to sometimes wait to, you know, to get the menu and to order your food. And then you have to wait for your food, right? Then you have to wait for the check. And then you pay the check, and you wait, and you leave. And yet, you're called the customer, and the person who brings you the food is called the waiter. But yet, we do the waiting. Isn't that ironic? Okay. Anyway, we're called to wait a lot in life because it's so uncontrollable, circumstances. Well, scenario two, when we need to realize and we need patience, is because people often are unchangeable. People do not want to change. And James uses the prophets as an example of this. He said, you know, especially the Old Testament prophets, as they spoke the name of the Lord, people did not want to change. And you can almost think of, you know, any prophet in the Old Testament. Pick your prophet, you know, we have Elijah. Jezebel and Ahab would not change. We've got Jeremiah, Zedekiah would not change. We've got Isaiah, Manasseh would not change. You see, people often do not change. And we do so much better when we realize this fact, don't we? When people do not change, when we realize that, and it sinks into us. You know, I have so many people that come in the office and you know, a wife says, oh, I thought my husband would change once we got married. Or, oh, a husband, oh, I thought my wife would change. You know, once we got married and once we had kids, I thought everything would change. But he hasn't changed a bit. You see, people don't necessarily change. And we do so much better when we realize that fact. Well, then the third scenario, the third case when we certainly need macrothumia, when we need patience, is when we realize that a lot of problems or sufferings are unexplainable, or unexplainable. And you may be going through a problem or a situation right now, and you don't know why. You may have been going through it for a long time, and there's really no real explanation as to why. James uses Job as the example. We remember Job in the Old Testament. Job had everything. He had a wonderful family. He had great wealth. He was living on the high hog. But then it all of a sudden went away. James was left poor health. He's suffering and in pain. All he had left was his wife, and his wife wasn't exactly real compassionate. Remember in James chapter 2, she says to Job, "Hey, just curse God and die." Real compassionate lady, huh? Okay. 5 times in Job chapter 3, Job asks, why? Why, God? Why am I going through this? Can you guys relate? Yeah. We ask God why. And we have to realize that a lot of times it's unexplainable. As we go through sufferings and problems, it's just, like Job, unexplainable. For 37 chapters in the book of Job, God says nothing. Job cries out, God, God, why? God doesn't answer. It's silent. 37 chapters goes on, and there's no answer. You see, we need patience. We need hupomone. We need to stay under God's will as we endure, as we go through trials and tribulations. But how is it? How can we practice patience? Okay? So these next 3 points, how can we practice the patience? And the first is to simply realize one fact. It's a simple fact that God's in control. God is in control. He's in control of your life. Yes, He controls our life. We're in His hands. As we said, James and our reading from Luke talks about the second coming of Jesus, how God, in His infinite wisdom, He knows when that's going to take place because our God knows all history. He knows what's going to happen in the future. He is in control. And our lives, your life is in control by God. And so we want to realize that simple fact that we're in the hands of God. He controls our life. And secondly, to practice patience, we want to realize that God actually blesses when we have patience, those who are patient. There was one little phrase in our reading. It says, He blesses those who persevere, blesses those who have hupomone. He blesses those who show patience. The Greek word is makarios, and that just, a lot of times, it's just translated as happy, okay? So we're happy as we practice patience. We're happier people as we practice patience. And isn't that true? As we practice patience with our children and our grandchildren and our spouses and all those other people that we are in relationship with, when we practice that patience, we are happier people. And they are much happier too when we show patience and we practice patience. There's even a survey that showed that people live longer and happier lives when they show patience. Isn't that interesting? But if you think about it, how true that could be, right? Blood pressure doesn't go up. You don't get so tense. You just let God have control. And we practice patience, so we're happier people. And then thirdly, and finally, we want to realize, practice patience, we want to realize that God is working things out. Romans 8:28 reminds us of that. It says, God works together for good for all those that love Him. So eventually it comes out good. He works it out for the good. And so we don't have to stress, we don't have to worry about it as we go through some hard times or difficulties. We know that eventually God will work things out for the good for those who love Him. And James again points to Job, who went through a lot, lost his family, lost his wealth, lost almost everything. God was silent for 37 chapters, but then finally, in Job 42, verse 13, it's told that Job was given more than what he even had in the first place. He was blessed again. His second half of his life was even better than the first. He was blessed. It all worked out for Job. And we can look at James, even the author of our writing from today. James, who was the half-brother of Jesus, grew up in the same household as Jesus, but he was not a believer in Jesus. He did not believe Jesus was the Messiah, was not the Christ, until Easter, until Jesus rises from the dead, and he makes a post-resurrection appearance to who? To James. In 1 Corinthians 15, we're told that Jesus appears to James. Oh, imagine the brother-to-brother talk that was, huh? Okay. But he appears to James. James becomes a believer. You're the Christ. He believes that Jesus was the one who took away all the sins of the world. And James goes on to become a very important person in the early church, in the early Christianity. He becomes the leader in the church at Jerusalem. That's James. Important person. It all seemed to work out well for him. He was not a believer, but now he's a believer in the Lord, and everything seems to work out wonderfully for him until about 62 AD or so. Tradition tells us what happens to James. He was stoned to death, killed for his faith. You see, sometimes it doesn't work out exactly as we want it here on earth. But ultimately, we know that the Lord is with us through those difficult times, and ultimately, we know that we will live with him forever. James is with our Lord forever in heaven. So ultimately, it does work out for him, and it will work out for us. We may not always be doubly blessed like Job was, or have more material possessions on earth that Job had, but we know where we're heading, that Jesus will return or will be called home, and we'll live forever with him in glory. But in the meantime, here on earth, we're to wait. We're to wait. And it's not easy, is it? It's so difficult to wait, to persevere, to have hupomone, to hang in there as we suffer, as we go through trials and tribulations. As we know that a lot of times, though, circumstances are uncontrollable, people are unchangeable, and that a lot of times suffering is unexplainable. But we know one thing, we know that God is in control, we know that he blesses those who are patient, and ultimately, it will work out for the good. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the patience that you have given to us in our life, and we pray that your Spirit will increase that gift, the gift of patience. And Lord, help us to wait and to persevere through difficult times and through times that we think that you have abandoned us. We know that you are there for us, and we know that you will give us your comfort and grace, and ultimately we have that gift of everlasting life in heaven. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May be seated now as we gather together our offerings and tithes and gifts.